All right, y'all, Sunday morning, February 11th, 2024. You know, we just sang the song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." I don't think many actually believe that, but it really is true. And even in this nation, just listening to a few this week that are people that do have something to say, and I do believe their intel is legit, are saying the same thing. That the battle has already been fought several years ago, and it's already been won, but the thing is getting the people on board. This is what this is all about. That's why we feel like it just is dragging out and dragging out and dragging out. And, you know, but what I heard was brought up recently that I listened to was the fact that this is God's show. And never forget that. It's not the White Hat's show. It's not even President Trump's show. They're just the chosen ones that he chose to be at the forefront during this time, just like he's chosen us. God is the one that's looking, and he's seen when we go in the fire, you know, three Hebrew children, when we go before the lions, or like Paul and Silas, we're in the prison. You know, the prison of the mind is the worst prison there is. But what does praise do? It just bumps us up over the top. Gets our mind thinking on other things other than our situation and our circumstance. That's where we get the victory. Victory, it may seem like victory may be a physical thing handed to you or a situation changing, but really the victory is what happens inside of you, your mind. You trade places, you know, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy and gladness instead of mourning. You know, we have one life to live, and we might as well be enjoying every single day of it. Because there will be a day we will look back and think, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. You know, when I was in it, it just seemed horrible. When I walked out, I thought, Lord, really, that's some of the richest times that I've ever had with you. I grew more, I saw more than I ever have. And it seems like it's in those hard places that he shows up in the fire. Now, we've talked about when I had that about the firewalkers, and I remember reading, what's her name, out of the Waco area, Cindy something. She's a prophetess. She was talking about those times of walking in the fire. Anybody who's anybody in the body of Christ, they have walked through the fire. And if you ain't walked through the fire, you ain't walking with God yet. Not really. Because how do you get to know him? That's in those places where you think, what in the world am I going to do, Lord? That's when we make a decision. I ain't going to do anything. That care goes to you, right? Think about it. He was carefully watching over Paul and Silas. He was watching. Think about your own children, especially when they were little bitty. You watched over every move they made because they were so tiny, so precious, so defenseless, and that's the way God sees us. All right. We're going to speak on a close look at tithing today. Don't really have anything to do about this, but maybe it does. I think tithing has been maybe misunderstood from what I'm going to bring this morning. I've never heard this from anybody except from the Lord or the angel. I'm going to explain why some things are Prophet's Corner and some things are Abundant Grace Fellowship, even though some of them seem like they're teachings the same. This is a Prophet's Corner. And the reason that it's a Prophet's Corner is because I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me or if it's an angel. Sometimes I feel like there's an angel on my shoulder and he's just rapid firing at me. And I'm writing as fast as I can. That's the way this came. So that's why it's a prophet's corner, because it was by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then I sit down and start going through it, and scriptures come to me. With a teaching, I might have a scripture, but I have to sit down and study that out, kind of like on Wednesday night. You see the difference? Okay. I'm sure you've all heard over the years the saying, don't touch the tithe. Isn't that basically what God was saying in Genesis 1 to the man and the woman? Not to touch the tithe? All right. The Lord says here, I gave the whole garden to man, and I left one thing that belonged to me, and that was the one tree. The one tree. All right, we're going to look at that as scripture here. Genesis chapter 2. A lot of people think you're not supposed to tithe anymore because that's old covenant. Well, I'm telling you, Old Testament. Old covenant means under the law. Tithing wasn't under the law. Genesis was not under the law. But you'll see that more and more as we go on. Genesis 2, verse 8. And said the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river went out to Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and came into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The name, same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Adekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right, he told him, you don't eat of it, or you will die. You shall surely die. Well, we know that wasn't physical death, it was spiritual death. So what did Eve do? Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the trees, or the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now a lot of people think that was a misnomer. Well, let me finish this, and then I will go back to that. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So right here, beguiled means to lead astray, to delude, or to seduce. All right, Strong's touch, the word touch. She said, lest we touch it. to touch obviously, but not exclusively, to figuratively arrive or acquire. What did the devil have to do? He had to bring her attention to it. Then she began to reason. So she did touch it. That's where we touch things, is with our mind. She touched it. Verse 6 here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That's kind of like Jesus saying to the Pharisees about, if you even look on a woman in your heart to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in her heart, in your heart. So that's what happened. The seduction happened in her mind first. Jesus saw it as the same before the act was even committed, that you'd already done it in your heart. All right. Seduced in her mind before she touched the fruit. Took it and partook of it. All right, 1 Timothy 6:10, well-known scripture. 1 Timothy. Well, let's just start with 6 here. You know, God, look what God gave them. But godliness, verse 6, 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're content, you don't lust, right? What did she do? She lusted after the fruit. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. In other words, God's provision. Was she satisfied with God's provision? No, she had to have His too. Isn't that the world we live in with the deep state? Isn't that their agenda? All right. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich and fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And there's several warnings throughout the New Covenant about the riches, you know, its placement in a person's life and how it can totally get you off the mark, that area. And what has the God of this world done? He has made sure that every waking moment, men are thinking, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to pay that? What am I going to do now? I don't have this. I don't have that. It's getting higher. Inflation gets higher and higher. We get less and less with our money. Now the white hats are using it in the same way, because we know there's no Biden regime. That guy's an actor. All the big dogs have been taken out. There's some low-hanging fruit that's causing some problems. But what's happening here? The white hats are using that same thing. They're trying to get people to the point that it hurts so bad they're screaming out. They're trying to raise the consciousness of people, because we're going to have a different consciousness to receive the kingdom of God, or we're going to be just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They have to see God is doing this, not the government, the military is the only way. President Trump, no, this is God doing this. All right. Satan's agenda is to upturn all that God has laid down. It don't matter what God said. The devil's going to come in behind and have God said. No matter what it is. Think about it. It doesn't matter what it is. He's after God. He's mad as H-E-W hockey sticks. He is mad. And now he's gone to make war with his seed. Just like Nimrod, I've been reading in the book of Jasher again. Oh, Nimrod. You know, Satan incited him to build a city to God. Why? So Satan can go back up there on his throne. They're really deceived enough to think they're going to pull it off still. Because they've got a renegade spirit that has one record he plays over and over and over again. He's duped pretty well everybody at some time with that same agenda. Nothing's changed. All right, just get a picture of the provision in the garden. All right. Here's one. Dominion over fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over cattle, over every creeping thing upon the earth. Created in the image of God, that gave them complete dominion over the garden. All herbs, every tree except one, had a built-in watering system. Four rivers where there was gold, bedlam, and onyx stone. It compassed the whole land. God placed the man there and said to dress it and keep it. One warning, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. So God gave them all of it. And he had one little tree. You know why David's sin was so grievous before the Lord when he sinned with Bathsheba? Nathan, the prophet, came to him and said, this man had one little lamb. One little lamb that he loved as a daughter. And you took his one little lamb. Even David said, that man ought to die. Well, David only lived to 70. I'm sure that short-circuited his life and he lost his son. That's a grievous sin right there. And he was a man after God's own heart. Just that one little thing. All right. God knew that if he ate of it, he had touched it first. Going back to Eve saying, we're not supposed to touch it. Well, with what? Your mind. That's God. You don't touch it. Don't ever think about touching what's God's. It will never do you any good. I remember one time we were coming out of church and I was griping because everybody's going to eat and we didn't have any money to go eat. And for the first time in our life, we didn't tithe. Even when we weren't really going to church, we always tithed. But I had a broken down car that I drove for 10 years. Every time I stopped the dumb thing, I had to have a jump. And I said, if I never pay my tithe again, I don't care. But I'm going to go get me a car. And I did. Well, one day I'm going home from church and I'm just griping to the Lord about it. And he said, well, if you'd pay your tithe, you could go to lunch too. And I said, Lord, I wasn't even talking about that. He said, I am. It just shocked the heck out of me. God's not about you not having anything. It sounds like to me it's about you having everything. Even if you've touched it in your mind, well, if I don't have to pay this tithe, then man, I could do this and I could do that. Isn't that where it started? Come on. Am I just preaching to the choir this morning? All right. It is his. It belongs to nobody else. And that ain't old covenant. That's Bible. That's the beginning. If a person gets that right, I don't think they'll ever lack. They may not have an abundance, but they'll never go without. Never. Never. He said he would rebuke the devourer for your sake, Malachi 3:10. Personally rebuke the devourer. You hold him to it. We'll read that in a minute. All right. Oh, God knew that if we ate of it, that we had first touched it. This is where creation begins. Where do we stray? We stray in our minds. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures that confirm that. This is Proverbs 4, verse 20. I'm telling you, the angel, or I believe it's an angel. It's like he's on my shoulder, like my over my right shoulder, and I'm just writing just as fast as I can. I'll be there, and I'm telling you, I don't have nothing. And I'm just going, Lord, what do you want? I don't have a thing. I'm not going to make something up. And then all of a sudden, bam, and blah, 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 blah. There we go. All right, 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. If we're thinking about the word, we're not thinking about the tree, are we? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Huh, life and health. Do you ever see that connection? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, death or life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Because you know what? When you start entertaining something for you know, here it comes a blood coming out of your mouth. We're made that way. We're made to think on a thing and then speak it into existence. And that works in the negative too. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Don't be looking at that tree. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's like touching the IRS money. I'll tell you what, they come throw you in jail. And people, they honor the IRS, the wicked IRS, which is the beast system. I was telling Demi about, you were telling me about Hobby Lobby, about how that man wouldn't have any barcodes on his stuff because he recognized that years ago as the beast system. He closes his stores on Sunday so his employees can go worship. He honors God. All right. 2 Corinthians 10. We all know this scripture very well because it is the scripture of how we do warfare. The battle belongs to the Lord, but that battle is in your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. What did Eve see? She is imagining how good that fruit looked. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What was the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? We're going to look at that. This is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It says, and now Israel, What doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? There you go. There's your mind. First commandment. Does God need the money? No, he needs the obedience. Of you not touching. You know, one person touching lost the whole shooting match. Thank God for Jesus. It's been hard enough with even knowing the Lord in this time in our lives, but to think that he didn't come, just think about how bad that was. Well, we wouldn't be here because the devil's so crazy. He'd have taken everything out. That's still his agenda, kill, steal, destroy. He has no other. It's like a broken record. All right. For 6,000 years, Satan, or since that fateful day in the garden, has been stealing, killing, and destroying what God has freely given to his people. We can blame the devil, but isn't it our fault? God told us not to touch the tree. A lot of people think tithing is an old covenant and you don't even have to do it today. Well, I'd be very, very concerned not to, because I know the Lord's spoken to me personally. I just told you what he said to me. You know, they can say what they want. Like I said, it doesn't matter what anybody says about the Word of God, whether they think it's right or wrong. We have the teacher of the church living on the inside of us. And there ain't nothing they can steal from us or take from us that the Holy Spirit cannot bring up to us if need be. So don't ever forget that, and don't ever doubt the Word of God, because many have gone astray and will lose their salvation over this. Thank God we got a few truthers out there that stand up and say, no, no, you don't touch God's Word. They have come, or they have succumbed to an alternate gospel. They have been deceived. They've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. I hope they'll repent. Because they're good people. They're just deceived people. All right. Colossians 1:15, or 2:15. Sorry, I didn't write. Forgot the 2. Jesus has done it all for us, right here. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we really cannot blame anybody but ourselves. But the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, you know. We thought that was funny, ha-ha, and it was. But the devil can't make you do anything. He couldn't make Eve do anything. He seduced her, but she's the one that decided to go on, carry it on through. All right, we are the enforcers of the earth. God has given the earth to us to keep it. Nothing's changed since that day. We're supposed to keep it, but we don't touch his tree. Have you heard the saying that their heart is attached to their wallet? It is. It's true. Most people, that's why they say, yeah, touching their money is going to, for those that are so hardcore and so asleep and will not wake up, touching their money is the one thing that they would probably say, well, now you know what's going on here. All right. When they touch the tree, they touch what belonged to God. This is the reason we tithe, God's portion. Even in the old covenant, God had his portion. When they did the sacrifice, there was a portion that was burnt and given to God, and the priest got the rest. So there's nothing changed there. All right, this is the reason we tithe, God's portion. It did just not just begin with the law, but it began at the beginning. You know, even Abraham, I got to thinking about that. Even before the law ever came into play and the sacrifices and all that happened, they sacrificed offerings, Cain and Abel. Prime example. All right, Satan's minions have a bloodlust for money and power. Their wars on the earth have all been to grab the land and all the resources. Sound familiar? What he did in the garden, he is doing now. Think about Maui. Think about Gaza. They want to make some kind of resort area there in that Gaza Strip by killing all those innocent Palestinians. And what people don't know is the corrupt Israeli government's in cahoots with them. The enemies are on both sides. So if you want to pray for somebody, pray for the innocents, those that are innocent. Because the Gazarian mafia, they're not innocent. They are Jews in name only. It's like Jesus said, they say they are Jews, but they are not. They sabotage the real Jews, which now the church is the real Jews. If we could just get the church to get that one and quit putting this little country on a pedestal, they'll touch God's tree, but you don't touch Israel, you know what I'm saying? Well, that's the church. All right. God's agenda, the devil's agenda has not changed, and it will not until he is disabled in the pit or in the lake of fire. That's the only thing that's going to stop him. All right, the kingdom reign is about to take us back to Eden before the fall. When all have plenty, there is no lack or want, then the need to touch the tree is removed. Think about it. Not even having a conscience of any want, need, or desire. We have been driven by these things ever since the God of this world took over. Somebody said something to me the other day. Oh, yeah, okay. It was about somebody they knew was doing this diet where you don't eat meat and all this stuff. She said, isn't it something that in the garden they didn't eat meat and all that? I said, well, you know, the fall caused things to change. And God gave man to eat mainly because what happened in Noah's day? They were eating each other. That's the purpose for that. Something changed in man. Now, in the millennial reign, the lamb's going to lay down with the lion. The lion will eat straw like the donkey or the horse or the cow. So we may not eat meat. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. We'll see. All right. Let me pick up where I was reading here. Why did Satan do this? He is mad at God for his expulsion from heaven. He is the ultimate war hawk. We got some pretty good war hawks today. They just want to blow the smithereens out of everybody and everything. Well, that's that land grab. That's that genocide push to the Satan's want to kill everything God made and take it all for himself, even the tree. That's that genocide agenda. That's why life is not precious to them. That's what abortion is all about. You can call it what you want, but that's what abortion's all about. It is the genocide agenda that they have used from the very beginning to take out all the precious life that God gives. And it's the worship of Satan. Baal worship, Moloch worship, that's what it is. And you can read it all through the Old Testament over and over again, these nations that they went in and took took out, he said, take them out, wipe them out, even the babies, even the animals, sometimes the trees and the grass. Because it is so, I don't know, I guess it's like you can't even leave it in the greenery lest it might jump on somebody and cause them to begin to act that way. It's so grievous and so horrible. So we're putting up with the same thing that's been going on since the very beginning. People can make it complicated and go through all kinds of stuff, but you can just read the Bible. It's pretty plain and simple of what's really going on here. All right, Genesis 3:15 right here. God wasn't pronouncing a curse. The people, what Eve did, then Adam, they're the ones that brought the curse on the earth. God didn't bring the curse. They set the curse in motion themselves by being seduced by the devil right here. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Up until that time, there probably wouldn't even have been no pain in childbirth even. Maybe it'd be like a Cabbage Patch Kid just went to the garden. Maybe it was conceived by faith. Everything changed. Wickedness came on the earth. Okay, go over to Revelation 12. We see it fulfilled from Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, what God said. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Like I've taught a few times on the seed war. There it is. From Genesis to Revelation. People want to know what's going on in the world. Well, Genesis to Revelation. Right there. There it is. It's been a war from Genesis to Revelation. Even though Jesus took out the evil one and gave us a fighting chance, it's still in our ballpark. Now we can, he stripped the devil, made a show of him openly, and so now we are the enforcers of that. All right, so why do we tithe? Is it touching God's tree? Yes, I believe so. Eve said we can't touch it or eat it. She touched it with her soul, her mind, will, and emotions, and it became an action. Romans 8:14 says it's the ones that follow the Spirit. Well, I'll just read it. The sons of God are the ones that follow the Spirit of God, not those that follow the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Did they do what they were supposed to in the garden? No. Think about the IRS again. I can't afford to pay my taxes. I have to pay my taxes or they will put me in jail. Satan's here to compromise. He really has to do very little. He just comes to try to trick you in your mind into doing something that you don't really want to do. Put pressure. In that way, you see it? It's the way I see it. It's the way it is. Even this morning, I was praying through a certain thing. And I kept feeling this opposition in my face again. It's nearly like something hitting me in the face. I don't feel it, but I feel it. But I don't feel it, not physically. And I realized what I was praying, that thing was trying to get that me off of that and onto something else. See, when you start getting into enemy territory and you start taking some land and getting some revelation about certain things or instruction about certain things, he don't like that. He don't like people getting born again and helped and those kind of things. He just wants victims. Right. If Satan can compromise you in this area, then you're sunk. You have to cut off your... His aim is to cut off your avenue to God. No pun intended. When you honor God with the tithe by not touching the tithe, that opens the way for Him to now become your provider. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. You'll say, "There, I see no way out." But by honoring God, all of a sudden, like Paul and Silas, there's a way out. All right, we're going to look at that, Malachi 3. I'm going to start with verse 7 there. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. See, we pay the IRS now instead of to God. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Didn't I teach, I think I taught something about tithers' rights? You remember that? I taught on it twice. Tithers' rights, you have rights. When you do that, the devourer is rebuked, and he's rebuked by God. If you don't, God can't do anything. You tie his hands. You make a choice. So many today would say that tithing was under the law. It was before the law. Abraham was before the law. He's the father of our faith. We're heirs according to promise. Through Abraham, who was not a Jew, he was a Chaldean. Think about that one. Have you ever heard the deal about Jesus is really not a Jew? Well, I can believe that. So I don't, you know, I haven't studied it out. I don't know, but I don't know where the lineage comes from, but I know Abraham was not a Jew. But that lineage of Jesus traces right back to Abraham. Like I said, they've screwed up everything. They've tried to screw up everything. But it doesn't make any difference. Jesus said there is no Jew or Greek anymore. Not in the church. We're just sons of God. He's all our Father as far as making us. Now, we're not all children of God, no. But it's God that gives life. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 7. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. It was kind of like he was paying tithe to Jesus. Right? It was a symbol. King of peace. Who's the king of peace? Jesus. Without father, without mother. Well, we know it wasn't Melchizedek. It's Jesus. He did have a mother, though. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Talking about Jesus here. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Types and shadows. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, Jesus was not a Levite. Came from Judah. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, I think that's for our sake, the Gentiles. And it is yet far more evident for them that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. This spiritual house, as opposed to that natural temple, with all its ordinances and all the little rules and stuff. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which you draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. That's cool, I think. That's a cool passage. Galatians 3 now. Tithing is under the Abrahamic covenant. That's the one we're under. All right, let me get a drink. All right, we're going to start verse 1 there. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not the Levitical priesthood, Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, that the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know, think about that. God never wanted a temple made with hands, ever. It wasn't his idea. But that's all they would receive. It's just, well, you know, all these rules and regulations, a similitude. God wanted people that he could commune with. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and in thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. See, it was just a holding thing. It was just something for them to do to try to keep them in order until Jesus could come. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. See, tithing was started in the garden. And just pretend the devil never messed up anything. People want to make it just an old covenant practice, but it is not. It was not even an old covenant practice. They did it, but it wasn't. It was from the beginning. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, tithing's under the Abrahamic covenant. Which covenant we have. Thank God. And it's by faith. It's not just a ritual we do. It's by faith. When you tithe, believe by faith. Believe God is rebuking the devourer for your sake, and he's not touching the fruits of your ground. God himself said he would do that. He's not asking you to do that. He's saying, I'm going to do that because you have honored the tree. You have not touched my tree. He didn't ask for much, did he? But even the devil, the way he is, he don't want anybody to have anything. Even the one tree, he had to have that too. All right. We have tithed for many years, but it took some time before the sowing started overtaking the reaping, or the reaping overtook the sowing. It took us a while, after doing it for many years, before we began to see that we weren't feeling the lack like we had at the beginning. It was a process. It didn't happen overnight. All right. Just a few more and I'll be done here. No, I'm wrong. I got another page. All right. All right, if a person, listen to this. If a person will not touch what is God's, it opens the way for God to become part of your finances, and he will lead you to high places, places where there is not any lack. He will lead you there. I'm not saying overnight, but he will lead you there. Abraham was a tither and he followed God. Even when he didn't understand things, he taught his son to do the same thing. All right, we're going to look at some couple of scriptures in Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 is the first one. Just the first four scriptures there. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. If you read the book of Jasher, I tell you what, that man went through some things. This is just a tiny bit of his full story of what happened. I mean, his father was a big idol worshiper, and Abraham went in there and made savory meat and tried to see if any of them statues would take him up on it. In other words, the gods of those statues. And when they wouldn't, he took the hatchet and hacked them all up. We got thrown in jail because of it. I mean, they tried to kill him at his birth. There was a sign in the heaven of his birth. And it foretold the promise that God gave to Abraham, and so they hid him away. He stayed with Noah a lot, hidden away. Abraham was really special. We see just a little bit of his life, but, you know, he did some special things from God. He put his own dad sold his own son out to save his skin. Haran. No, Terah. Haran was the brother he gave up to save his own hide. Because they were going to burn Abraham at the stake. They put him in a fiery furnace, and he walked in that round in that fiery furnace for days and days and days. His brother got thrown in there and instantly consumed. He just walked around in there, and they thought, we got to get him out of there. But nobody was afraid, because everybody that tried to go get him out got burned up too. Finally, the king said, come on out of there, and he walked out. It wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fiery furnace, so did Abraham. So he was special. He really was. All right, now it'll make you want to go read it. It is pretty. I said, there's things in here I never heard before, but they're exciting. Everything in the book of Jasher is very exciting. That's why I believe it belongs in the original, because it's mentioned in Kings, Chronicles, I forget which. All right, Genesis 26. Like I said, he taught his son, Isaac. Actually, Sarai was not his sister. I think she was his niece. If you go by the book of Jasher. Anyway, Genesis 26, 1. I'll have to look at it again. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and all in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. He obeyed God. When God has your heart, then he can lead it. I'm talking your mind, will, and emotions. I'm going to tell you a story, and the story's not complete yet, but it just came up. Back several weeks ago, right around Christmas time, I kept having it come up to me, go take and trade this thing in, go to BMW, see Roberto. I didn't say anything to Danny. In fact, it was probably a month or so, 6 weeks, before I ever said anything to him about it. And I kept thinking, why would I do this? I hadn't had this thing very long, which I was, like I said, I was struggling with it, but I wasn't going to do anything. And one day we're at a market just a couple weeks ago, really 2.5 weeks ago. And there was a BMW car in front of us, and it was the color of my new one. And we just both, Danny about, oh, I love that, you know, just like something's dropped on us, like. And I told him what I had been, you know.
7 series.
Yeah, I know what he's got, the new one he's got. But the thing was, he didn't know, but that after all this started going on, I remember one night just praying very heavily in tongues about the situation. It's like I prayed it all through. It was a done deal. You know, and I told Danny, well, yeah, I guess you better need to pray and get the Lord's mind on it. And I said, well, I went to the Lord again, and he said, you already prayed it through. Just go do what I told you to do. Well, this week we did the car thing. And I kept having this young man, won't call his name again, but anyway, kept having this young man come up about some things. Well, while we're there, you know, he was talking to Danny, and he said, Mr. Love, you know, you said something about you didn't do anything unless you prayed about it first. And he said, when you said it, there was meaning behind when you said it. Because he said, people tell me that all the time. Well, I'm going to go pray about it. And they're not going to do that. They're just lying to me, saying that so they can go do whatever they want or get away from me or whatever. And so we gave them a thank you, gave him a thank you, a cash gift. I won't say how much. Well, yesterday morning he calls and says he's got, his fiance has a family member that's been diagnosed with cancer going through chemo, and he sent them a certain amount of money. Well, the money we gave him was the same amount of money. And he said, I think that's significant. Well, from that, I went into my office. I have a God's medicine in Spanish and one in English. He's this man that's sick is in Mexico. And this morning the Lord said, now you can understand. You may think, well, you lost all that money and all this stuff happened, but you've given me your money and your finances, so now I can maneuver you, and you won't think you're out of your mind when I tell you to do something when it seems unseemly and it seems something like I'm wasting all this money and it just doesn't make sense to me. Blah 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 blah.
The Mercedes.
Right, the Mercedes. We lost a lot of money. A lot of money. But you know, God has checking privileges with us. That was one of the conversations we had. Danny was telling the story, I guess it was Kenneth Copeland, going to some, I guess it was businessmen's, yeah, thing back when that was big, you know, Christian Businessmen's Association or whatever it was. And all these ministers get up and talk about how God is their partner in their business and all this stuff. And the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, well, you know, none of them have any checking. I don't have checking privileges with any of them. So, you know, all these things, you know, the Lord's kind of opened up for us to speak to this young man. And I thought, you know, in the back of these books, there's the plan of salvation in the back of these books. I'm thinking about getting the Y tongues and put that with it in English and Spanish. I have it in both. And just giving it to him, I'm thinking, What kind of money would you be willing to sow if you thought, you know, kind of like, they got big families, you know. You think get one saved, get them all saved. Is this about the gospel? Is that the focus? Doesn't matter how much money. It's about, God, you have checking privileges with me. Okay, if all these people get saved, what difference does it make? Just putting it in perspective and trying not to reason why in the world would I do that. Most people will sit there and let the devil, just like they did Eve, reason with them about that, and they will miss God every time. Because God will make it up to you. You give it to him, he's going to see you get it back, but he don't just give back what you gave. But this young man is learning some things through this because he's seen fake, and now he's seen real. Real Christians. There's not many real Christians. Danny had a boss one time that said, this is the only man I know that walks it. That's pretty bad to think. We all say we are. We all go to church and bunk it plunk and act like we just have done so much. We don't crack the Bible till next Sunday. Not against anybody, I'm just saying. Have we forgotten about why we're really here? It's about the gospel. It's about the commission. It's the only thing that matters. It's God's number one priority, and it's one of the confessions that I make. I need to change our confessions. That in America, we do the Great Commission. It's our number one priority. Instead of the IRS getting all the money. All right. So we'll see how all this plays out because I have to get the books to this young man. And he's a young man, not married yet, engaged. And I think, boy, what a way to start out a marriage knowing those kind of things, seeing that firsthand. But he's a young man that does things right. And if he doesn't think that the deal's good or something, he'll let you know, even though he may lose money. So the young man's heart is right. And God can use that. All right. Let's keep going here. When God has your heart, he can lead it. If money has your heart, I'm talking your mind, your will, and emotions. Tithing conditions you to be able to turn all your affairs over to God. That's the purpose of that portion that you do not touch. Let me read that again. Tithing conditions you to be able to turn all your affairs over to God. It becomes a partnership. It's not for you to be 10% less. It's for you to be hooked up with God. The Holy Spirit tells you where to go and where to sow, just like he did Isaac. A tight wad that won't tithe won't ever have this type of relationship with God. God will take the tithe higher than the imagination, the tither higher than the imagination can go. See, we limit ourselves so much based on what we have. All right, all the giving principles of the Bible all start at tithing. This sets a precedence. I remember one time, this minister has already passed away, and then he was going to change jobs or something like that, and so he went to get counsel. And this minister prayed about it for a week, I think, or something. And Danny went back and he said, I can see from what you've told me that, you know, by your tithing, God has maneuvered you. Put you in places for you to prosper. And that's the absolute gospel truth. And we lived from paycheck to paycheck for so many years, we never went without. I can remember with three kids having $50 for the whole month. We got paid once a month. I went and bought groceries for a whole month. Everything was paid, but there was nothing to eat out on or do anything on. And that it was that way for a long time. But we did it. God saw that we didn't go hungry. We didn't miss a payment. And we had lots of payments. And then one day it kind of started loosening up. I remember the first day I went, I think it was to Target or Walmart, I bought sheets and towels. My sheets and towels, you could see through them. I felt like a rich woman in that store buying new sheets and new towels. Because, you know, any extra money you had to do for the kids, because the kids had to have school clothes and glasses and braces, and you just... But God was faithful. But so were we. All right, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. These are on giving, tithing. First one's Proverbs chapter 3. Has this done anything for anybody today? God's always looking at people. His heart's about people. And in this situation, it's very obvious. All right, Proverbs 3, verse 9 here. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth a new wine. Well, this part kind of goes with it. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be ye weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. Sometimes you feel like, what have I done wrong because you've been in a hard place for so long? No, we can't look at it that way. He loves whom he corrects. In fact, it is a privilege to be corrected by the Lord. That means you're of some worth or value to him. All right, Proverbs 11, 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. All right, Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Just like, you know, this young man, he gave a certain amount to his fiancée's family for this man that's, I guess, taking chemotherapy. He said, Miss Love, there's something significant about this because what you gave me was the exact amount. I said, yeah, I think so. Something significant here. Or speaking to you, young man, that's what the significance is. All right, Proverbs 22. There's been two or three young people that have come in our house and say, how do you get a house like this? They say, well, listen to God and do what he says. One young man, well, I thought I was going to go to California and do this, and then I'm going, it ain't in California, you know. All right, Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Now, I'm not talking anything manufactured on yours that you do yourself. I'm talking about God leading it. God leads it. He tells you when and where and how much, right? Not just giving to give. All right? Danny was telling a story that Charles Capps told about this guy. Gave his car away, and then about a year or so later, he got a brand new car. And this guy said, well, I'll give away my old bomb, you know. And he said, I end up walking for 18 months, you know. We're not just following what others do. We're following the Spirit, Spirit-led giving. All right, Deuteronomy 8:18. And you start where you're at. God knows where you're at. It's not the amount. Just remember the widow's mite. I've had the Lord tell me before, and I had it to give $100, and he said, no, how much you got in your purse? I said, I have $3. He said, give $3. It's about the obedience, isn't it? 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. The power to get wealth. When you start distributing, when he tells you to, he'll make sure you got the wealth. He will, because he can trust you, that you're going to follow out his instructions and give that money, or whatever it is, the resource. Okay, Matthew 6. All right, verse 1 through 4 first. Verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Really, for the most part, I would rather do it in secret than any other way. I prefer it that way. Because people want to thank you, and I'm thinking, well, we didn't really do it. We follow what the Lord says to do. God did this for you. That's the purpose, that they know God did it for them. All right, verse 19 of that, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yeah, for sure. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Or with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I can't tell you how many years, year after year after year after year, I made cookies and candies and all that stuff every Christmas. I just gave everybody just boxes of cookies and candy and all kinds of stuff. Nobody ever gave me, like President Trump, nobody ever gave the U.S. 10 cents. Nobody ever gave anything back. I remember one lady saying, well, remember me this year. And I said, well, what about remembering me? But I'll tell you, the payback came. But a lot of years. I started with what I had. That's what I had. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8:7. I also told him the story of the first vehicle we ever gave away. I got a brand new Honda Passport when they first came out. Fire engine red. It's pretty. It was, and I liked it so well. Well, we were instructed to give it away. And the people couldn't pay for it. They had some tax issues, so they couldn't even put it in their name. So we paid the payments on it, paid their insurance for 18 months, and then we got it back, and it had 40,000 miles on it, more than I put on a vehicle in 10 years. Traded it in and got me a little something to drive, but I went without a car for 18 months. Same way when we gave our little house away. You know, that's why the Lord said, I'm going to see that you have a nice car and a nice house because you sacrificed and you did what I told you to do. Now I'm bound to take care of you. And he's been faithful to do just exactly that. But was there some crying? There sure was. There was some tears through those lean years. You can bet that there was. But God's faithful. He does not forget. Especially when you do what he asks of you. All right. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Did I just read that?
No.
Not yet. Okay. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's talking about the grace of giving. Lord showed me that way back 40 years ago about the grace of giving. And just the more, the merrier, just bucket plunking. No, this was a grace that comes on you to give as you follow the Spirit. That's the kind. See, God doesn't like works of the flesh. You can give away the farm. And if God's not leading it, what have you gained? Nothing. You lost your farm. All right. A lot of people don't understand that. Now, let me be careful here. I can't tell you, well, being in churches where it's just hitting people all the time, give this, give for that, give for this, give for this. It's a compulsion. Or special speakers come in and make you feel bad if you don't. That's wrong. It should never be that way. In other words, getting you emotionally riled up so you give, that's not right. God loves a cheerful giver. All right, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's an agreement between you and God. Yes, Lord, I will do that. I will gladly do that. All right. They that tithe trust God. Those that do not tithe do not trust God. They only trust themselves. Those that trust God, God can also trust them, and God will give and even more to them. He knows that they will let loose of whatever and let it go with the knowledge that God is their provision and not money. And not money or things, like the parable of the talents. Some bury their money in the backyard, but others take it and do something with it. It's a great way to live. Very rewarding. What?
Isaiah 48:17.
Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. See, that's just like that story I told, that this pastor told Danny. You can tell that, you know, you're a tither by how God's maneuvered you into jobs and all, you know. He'd move him out before they'd go into a merger or something, and he could have lost a job, and he'd provide another one, so... All right, that's Isaiah what?
Proverbs 48:17.
That's Isaiah 48:17?
Isaiah 48:17.
Okay. All right, that's going to do it.